My sermon title, which I forgot to send, I apologize, is called Left-Handed and Right-Handed Giving. I really do enjoy the Ted and Company theatrical versions of scriptures, especially the ones presented in their Fish Eyes DVD. It brings me to tears of joy and laughter almost every time. And as someone with a theater background, of course, I adore watching what they create to worship God. My favorite scene is the one of the feeding of the 5,000. It's quite comical. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. From a scriptural sense, I really appreciate how the actors in Ted and Company take sections of scripture, fashion them into a play, and then try to make sense of them for us. Not in a simplistic way, of course, but in a way that hopefully allows us to ponder more fully what Jesus is asking us to do and how to live his ways in the best way possible. I personally have been struggling with different tenets of the Bible recently, especially the line, each day will have its own troubles. When I sit down to work on my sermon, I get sidetracked. Because, of course, going to physiotherapy and dealing with the insurance company was not what I planned on doing this summer. And I know I'm not the only person suffering. That's just my particular reality. What I'm hoping to do with this sermon, God willing, is explore a few passages from Matthew which seem to say different things to me. God states quite specifically that we are not to hide our light under a bushel. God also says not to let your right hand know what your left hand is doing when you're giving alms. God tells us not to worry about our clothes and our food, but once again, we're collecting for the food bank. I have been pretty familiar with the Gospel of Matthew. However, I started to reread it recently with my commentary beside me and finding that there's much more in there than I've realized. The basic layout of Matthew is this. We're not doing the whole scripture, or just parts of it. Promise I won't keep you here that long. John the Baptist preaches repentance and states that he will baptize with water. And John the Baptist says that Jesus will baptize, but Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 3:7, John criticizes the Pharisees for thinking that because they are the chosen of God, that they will be saved during the resurrection by their outward appearance of piety. Jesus mocks them for standing on the street corner in their fancy clothes, giving alms or fasting and making a big scene of it. And he tells them quite honestly that that will be their full reward. There will be nothing in heaven. Like the applause at the end of a play, there will be no reward for the Pharisees. In Matthew 4, verses 1 to 6, Jesus starts to teach his disciples after calling them from their various homes and occupations. Jesus starts to heal the sick and preach to the multitudes in the hillsides. And according to my New Testament Bible commentary by Craig Keener, being a fisherman was a good occupation in Jesus' time. Some of the disciples left the family fishing business, which could have meant hardship for those who remained behind. The Keener commentary also states that Jesus was different from all the other rabbis in his time. Normally, disciples decided which teacher they wanted to join. So Jesus calling the disciples was vastly different from anything the Jews knew at the time. Continuing on, in Matthew 5, verses 14, Jesus admonishes those doing good deeds to do them quietly. In Matthew 6, verses 1 to 3, Jesus talks about giving alms in private and not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing. My confusion starts to begin about now. For in Matthew 5, 14, believers are also told, as we know, to let your light so shine before others that others may see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. We are told not to cover up our lamp with a bushel basket. We're told to place it on a stand and let everyone see it. If we cover it with a bushel basket, it will become useless. These two commands seem to me somewhat incongruous. How can we let our light shine so that we glorify God, but not let people see when we do a good deed? For he told us to visit the sick, the prisoners, the sad, the lonely, and so on. Now, to illustrate the point, we have one short clip from the TED video.
He also said that?
What?
When you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret?
Yeah.
Well, that's stupid. What? I mean, isn't that why we do acts of good, so people can see us? I don't want to waste a perfectly good act of charity by hiding it. You ever do that?
Well, you know, I did it once. I mean, there was this homeless man downtown, and I took him out for lunch, and, well, I guess, hey, that was a totally right-handed bit of almsgiving, and nobody knows about that. Except you do now.
Except me.
This right-handed, left-handed thing, it's so confusing. I like when people see me go with Jesus to the secret place to pray. I like when the paralytic dances and the water turns to wine and all the hoopla. I mean, I really, really, really like it.
Andy, remember that?
Oh, that's great.
Dude, that was beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll bet we can do that.
Okay, let's give it a shot.
All right. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay.
Our Father, who's in heaven, we honor your name.
So continuing on, what happens then if someone sees me making a donation at the secondhand store? I do realize we can give alms by writing checks or making donations online. And I certainly don't want to overthink this and become too legalistic in my thinking, for I certainly don't think God is about to zap me with a lightning bolt if I make a mistake. I know that we as a community, of course, we collect for the food bank, and hopefully no one is trying to one-up someone while we're doing that. Cafe 541 in Hamilton is a great example of the one hand not knowing what the other hand is doing. For those of you who don't know what Cafe 541 is, I'll just give a short explanation. It's a cafe that was started in an old bank building in one of the less well-off areas of the city. It was started by one of the area churches. I just can't remember the name of it. But what they do is, if you're able, you can go to the counter and order what you want to eat and pay for it yourself, but they also have a button jar at the cash. So if you're unable to pay for your meal, you can take from the button jar. So it's much more dignified, and then what happens is you get to choose yourself what you'd like to eat, as opposed to possibly getting something from the food bank that may not be suitable. It's a lovely way of showing dignity and God's love. They also have community events there. So, of course, ancient Jews would definitely understand about manna and giving tithes for the support of the poor. In our society, of course, there is social assistance, either disability or welfare. The rates are too low, and that is disheartening. However, some politicians are trying to get the rates raised. There is a lot more written in the media now about the negative effects of poverty, and finally realizing that people do not choose this. The changes are not perfect, but at least some of the negative attitudes are finally starting to be lessened. God is not punishing the poor. He said they would inherit the earth and for everyone to take care of them. Our manna now is government assistance and perhaps help from your faith group. Paul Miller, the Stony Creek MPP, has a private members bill right now that's being presented that's hoping to change the assistance rates so that it's what they call evidence-based. It's actually based on the amount people need to live on, not just subsist. Because at the moment, a single adult on welfare gets less than $1,000 a month, And a single adult on disability gets about $1,200 a month. So in Matthew 6:25-33, Jesus tells us that we do not need to worry about food, that God will take care of us, for he knows our needs, and each day, as we know, has enough troubles of its own. And again, as I say, sadly, we are still collecting for the food bank. He also talks about the sparrows. He loves all of his creation. And he mentions them because, of course, they sing and swoop around in joyful admiration of God and their creator. If I had a superpower, it would be flying. Many in our congregation and city know there is an endemic poverty issue locally, nationally, and internationally. We also know that the solution is being hampered by some politicians, but as I said, some are actually trying to change the system and reduce these issues. Another positive change is that the current Minister for Disability and Welfare Concerns has started to give folks who can't afford bank accounts, that's how poor they are, she started to give them a reloadable bank card so that they don't have to go to those horrible money lending centers, and there's much more dignity in that system. Again, it's not perfect, it's a start. So of course, many godly people seek righteousness, but there are still people going hungry. However, with prayer and advocacy, such as the various poverty and advocacy groups, even amongst our congregation here, these issues around poverty are becoming less shameful. And of course, there is always hope in God, although it can be dispiriting when someone has to use the food bank. I have been pondering what God may have been thinking about in these passages that I've been mentioning. God wants us, as I said, to let our light shine so that our good works so that we can be seen, so that we will be known as followers by the life we lead. God wants us to honor him, do good, act justly, and give alms without making a production of it, such as someone giving someone who is homeless a coffee shop gift card. I found a great sermon on this topic from Pastor Brownson of Words of Hope. He does international radio broadcasts. And just a short quotation from him says, "Friends, it is possible. We can begin to give alms and to do good out of grateful, loving hearts. We can pray, not because it is the thing to do, but as a response to God's faith. We can begin to deny ourselves, yes, to take up our cross and follow Christ because he gave himself for us. Our lives then may make a powerful impression on those around us as salt in the earth and light in the world. Yet our desire will be more and more that Christ himself will be seen and magnified. And here is a motto of secret saintliness. He must increase and I must decrease. God give us such hearts." In conclusion, I think it is up to us to prayerfully determine what is acceptable to God in terms of our left-handed and our right-handed giving. We know from Matthew that each day has enough trouble of its own, and we can be dispirited at times. Yet God says he will provide our daily bread, our manna. People worry they don't have enough to eat or a steady job or enough to live on because of those low assistance rates. But these issues are often because of the sins of our fallen world, not because of a breaking of God's word. How you choose to honor or ignore him, shine in his light or hide it under a bushel, or give alms is not for me to say. I just hope that we can all move forward together in his hope and continue to advocate in a God-honoring way for changes. Thank you, and peace be with you.